Let us pray.
Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Then the wind ceased, and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" Good news, Jesus can control the weather. Amen. That's actually not what this sermon is about, although certainly that is a theme in the passage. This sermon is, however, about Georgios Kyriakios Panayiotou, who some of you know as one of the greatest English singer-songwriters of all time of both Greek and English descent. You know him better as George Michael. I'm going to come back to that. But yes, here in the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel, the 35th through the 41st verses, we have this story about Jesus calming the wind and the waves. Clearly a big deal for those disciples who were on the sea with him in that little boat. But for us, unless you are planning a beach wedding, which, just for the record, bad idea, because sand, or unless maybe you're golfing this afternoon or you have just washed your car, unless those things are true for you, Jesus' control over the weather is probably not the most pressing concern in your life. I mean, that's why we have the Weather Channel. We've invented radar that can track storms. We have air conditioning and irrigation. So for us, at least in our corner of the world, Jesus' control over the elements is not the main thing we draw out of this passage. For preachers these days, they tend to take this passage and get metaphorical with it. Have a storm in your life? Have a problem? Well, Jesus is here, so if you just have faith in him, he will solve the problem for you. See, they pick up on that verse 41 where Jesus says, "Have you still no faith?" And so the preacher will then use that to tell people, if you've got a storm, just got to have faith in Jesus. They will quote George Michael. You got to have faith, the faith, the faith of. 1987. Well, I want to correct that. I mean, there's something to that. Jesus talks about faith. Jesus calms the wind and the waves. But I think that's not the main message here. This passage has something to say about what people are like, you and me, people trying to follow Jesus. And there's something here that it wants to say about Jesus. And I want to talk about that, and I want to end not with George Michael, but with somebody named Robert Van Winkle, born in Dallas, Texas. You may know him as a different name. Do not Google it. You will ruin the end. So let's look at this passage. Chapter 4, Mark's Gospel, early in Jesus' ministry. He has called his disciples. He has begun healing people. He has run afoul of the Sabbath police on several occasions. He's been exorcising demons. He's been teaching. He's just finished a long lecture, the Sea of Galilee School of Continuing Education. He's been teaching all day, and he's wrapping up. It's nighttime. It's time to go. Now, he has been teaching from a boat, seated in a boat just a few feet off the shore of the Sea of Galilee, this little lake in northern Israel. And he's been teaching in the boat because he was so popular and so powerful in that if you touched him, you would be healed. And people then, like now, have lots of problems, and they wanted to touch him to get healing. And so he had put himself in the boat and gotten some distance, a little buffer between him and the crowd. And so he's finished teaching, and he now just begins to move away in the boat there. And interestingly, also note this, verse 36, it says that there were some other boats there in the water. Some people had gotten in their boats to get closer to him. and to hear him. And apparently, even as he left, they didn't want to miss anything. So they begin to go with him, next to him, in their boats. So this little flotilla is making its way across the Sea of Galilee. And this huge windstorm starts up. Again, if you had been envisioning rain or hail or some other precipitation, that's not in the story. If you read the text closely, it was just wind. But wind so strong that it threatened to capsize the boat. The waves picked up and were crashing into the boat. And this boat was not a large boat. This would have been maybe 18, 20 feet long. Not a lot in the face of this wind. And so where is Jesus? Where is the Lord of heaven and earth? Well, there he is in the stern of the boat, catching a few Z's, asleep on what we can presume was an extremely wet cushion. But he'd taken about 15 Ambien, and he was just out on the original waterbed. So the disciples, who are there busy, bailing, rowing, just in general freaking out, they come over to him, and they wake him up and say, "Don't you care that we're dying?" And so Jesus stands up, speaks to the wind and the waves, and says, "Y'all settle down." And they do. And this calm prevails. And the disciples are amazed. They see this incredible power that Jesus has over nature. And they've seen him do some amazing stuff. But this, they're blown away. Who is this guy who tells the wind to stop and it does? So that's the story. And like I said, a lot of preachers will see that and will make this about how in the face of the great storms of life, you must have faith, brothers and sisters. But this passage, I think, shows us something a little bit... I apologize if you got nervous at that, my Episcopalian brethren. The story shows us, I think, two things that I think are much more profound and much more, I think, relevant to you and me than just me telling you to just try to have more faith. This passage tells us something about people and something about Jesus. And the first thing, this thing it tells us about people, is that we are terrible at having faith. We're the worst. And the second thing it says is that Jesus is faithful. He has amazing faith. So let's look at this. These disciples, these people who are bad at having faith, let's just recall the fact, let the record show, that Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity, the Savior of the world, the Messiah, the promised one, is in the boat. He is with them. And it's not like they don't know who he is. Sure, his whole identity has not yet been completely revealed to them. But as I've said, they have seen him heal people. They have seen him perform miracle after miracle. And he has this power, and they know it, and he's in the boat. And so their response, while the wind rages and the waves crash over the boat, is not to pray, "Oh Lord, powerful Jesus, help us." No, their only response is to get sarcastic and sassy. And they say, "Don't you know we're perishing? Don't you care?" This says something about prayer, right? Usually we think that prayers are supposed to begin with some formal address. Use one of the approved names for God. Father God, Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, O Lord, dear God. And then you have to demonstrate your faith and pray correctly. So many people, I've prayed with you folks, and some of you in like group settings are just nervous about praying out loud because you might say the wrong words or something. This, I think, tells us something about prayer. I mean, it's barely a prayer. It's just, "Don't you care we're dying?" They don't even ask him to help. They just yell at him. They're just angry and frustrated. So, no faith. And if you think that that's, if that's zero faith, you can get even lower than that. There's all those other boats around him. who, as the text shows, who are subject to the same storm. There's no record of them. Hey, Jesus, nice teaching. How about a little help over here? Right? No, nothing from them. So we have rude prayers and no prayers. And they're all affected by the same storm. So the passage to me, more than anything, demonstrates how bad we are at having faith. How when things go wrong, when you're in the midst of the storm, usually the most we can do is just get angry at God, if we even remember him at all. We are really bad at having faith. Jesus, this is the second thing to notice. Jesus, in contrast to that, well, he is faithful where they are faithless. He's the one that has so much faith he can sleep in the boat, soaking wet. You know, I have trouble sleeping if the air conditioning isn't at the perfect level. Some of you light sleepers, you hear a moth's wing brush up against the curtain. And what was that? Jesus, in the middle of a storm, so sure of God's providence, power, and presence, is asleep. Total trust in God. So here's the thing. We tend to hear this story and hear it in such a way where it's really about us needing to have more faith to solve more problems. And you've heard that sermon. You've heard it enough so that when you are facing life's problems or you're thinking about your religious life, you probably have some sense that you're not doing enough. You are lacking in faith. Some unhelpful but well-meaning person at some point in your life says, well, if you just had faith. You have heard that. As Al Mellis would say, and that's when you should throat punch them. You know, we always think that we are the ones that have the faith that is the lever that controls the power of God. If we just had enough, if we were just more faithful, if we just went to church more, if we just read the Bible more, if we just knew the right words to say, we would make it all work out. The disciples, zero faith, rude prayers, total panic. That's what they bring to the situation. And what is the response of Christ? Well, his response is to calm the storm after they don't ask for it and just yell at him and demonstrate no faith. This is a story that is about Jesus Christ and his faithfulness in contrast to our faithlessness. This is why the gospel is good news. This is why Jesus is for you. This is hopefully why you're in church today. Not because you're so great, but because you need a God who is. And that's what this shows. Christianity is not how much faith you have in God. Christianity is about the faith, the perfect faith of Jesus Christ, which is given to you as a gift, even when you ain't feeling it. And that's what this shows. He is the one that calms the storms, not you. It's not like God is up there in heaven with this massive power at his disposal, just waiting for you to come along with the key of faith and put it in the key and open the door, put it in the lock and open the door. It's not that he's waiting for you to do something. Jesus doesn't calm the storm because the disciples ask correctly. He's not calming the storm because they have a great attitude. He doesn't calm the storm because of their great piety. He calms the storm simply because of his grace and his power. Instead, we tend to make this a George Michael kind of passage. You got to have faith. But really, it's a story about Robert Van Winkle. In 1990, you know him as Vanilla Ice. He said, if there's a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while the DJ revolves it. You are welcome. That song aside, I quote it because it is in a rapper's typical hubris and arrogance. He says it's 100% my deal to solve the problem. If there's a problem, yo, I'll solve it. And that's what this is about. Jesus says, it's my deal here to calm the waves and the wind and to end this storm. The story is not about your need to have faith, but about Jesus' faithfulness. Not about your need to be perfect, but about his perfection for you. At the end here of the story, Jesus, as you see, speaks and calm prevails. See, what he says happens. And this is what he does for you in your life, where you feel, oh Lord, I am not good enough. I don't have enough faith. I know I should do better. I know I should have had more self-control. I know I shouldn't have said that thing. I know I should have. I know I should want to pray more. I know I should just be a better person. I know I should care more about other people. In that situation, Jesus says, you are forgiven. You are pardoned. My faith I give to you. In the end of this story, Jesus would face again people with very little faith. And he would face the biggest storm of all as he goes to the cross. And from that place, he speaks a word for you. It is finished. It is accomplished. All is done for you. His life for yours. His blood poured out for your sins. The message of the gospel is the perfection of Christ, the faith of Christ for you. You and I will always have fickle hearts, weak faith, present doubts, and rather lukewarm prayers a lot of the time. But the message of the gospel is not how good you can be for God. The message of the gospel is what he, this powerful, loving, forgiving, gracious God, has done for you. 100%. Good news. Amen.